This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right, Rob, I'm going to call a little bit of an audible here. This giveaway is on behalf of the fine people here on The Drive, also on behalf of Rob and I's podcast. Rob and I do a movie podcast called Bad Movies, Worst Opinions. That's where these movie tickets come from. We got tickets for you to take your lady, take your kid, your nephew, I don't care who you take, to go see Venom. Have we determined which Venom movie this is? This is the second one, this is the third
one.
This is
three.
This is the third Venom.
Can never have too many Venoms. This is Venom 3.
So I'm going to play a sounder. We're going to give the tickets away right now. Just that's the kind of energy I'm on to kick off a Red Friday. We still got some more tickets, right, Rob? We still got a couple more to give away. We're giving them away. 96.5 The Fan. I'm going to play this here. Be caller number 6. Rob is going to give you tickets. If Rob does not pick up the phone and tell you you are the winner, then you are not the winner. That's how this works.
We are Venom.
So hopefully whoever wins those tickets, I hope you enjoy the movie. I hope it's everything you want Venom to be. I hope you enjoyed Venom 1 and Venom 2. I also hope that you download our podcast, Bad Movies, Worst Opinions. And I hope that you enjoy the movie. And I hope that, Rob, this is not a movie that you and I are reviewing on our podcast because it didn't do so hot.
I think Venom 1 and 2 technically register for the podcast.
But, so you're telling me there's a chance this movie's also not good.
But the tickets, I'm looking at the physicals right now over here on my desk. They're for IMAX, so you can't have a bad time.
I hope you go see Venom. Take your kid, take your nephew, take your niece. Go see Venom in theaters. Also, check out our podcast. All right, this is where I would like to start the show today. Rob, can you cut the Hondo Carpenter, what he had to say about the puppet incident? Can you cut that? I apologize for not saying that earlier in the show. All right, there are two things that interest me about this game. Now, I know you guys hate when I'm confident undefeated Kansas City Chiefs are going to win. The text line always goes crazy. You always say that. Well, they win most of the time, too. So, yes, I'm picking them to win this week. I imagine you're picking them to win. I'm not here to waste anybody's time. There's only two things that interest me about this game. There's only two. Number one, you guys remember the whole puppet incident from earlier in the year. For those of you that don't remember, there was a Raiders fan that brought a Kermit the Frog Chiefs puppet to the game, to the practice. He handed it to a rookie. The rookie makes a video. This is what it sounded like.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
So this Raiders player grabbed the puppet, mocked Patrick Mahomes' voice, called him a word that you should never call a person, and the video went viral, as you would imagine. That video got to the Chiefs real, real quick. Patrick Mahomes was asked about this video. This was on July 26th, earlier this year. Here's what Patrick Mahomes had to say about that video.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early in the year. Kind of stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled. Not really, honestly. Everybody kind of just lets me play. I mean, they know how I am, so they don't need to send me anything to keep me motivated.
They know how I am. It will be handled when it's time to be handled. You know when it's time to do the handling? Sunday, 3:25. That's when it's time to do the handling. In their stadium, in their building, in front of their fans, and majority of your fans too, that's when it's time to do the handling. Here's Andy Reid. Here's what he had to say about the puppet video.
Patrick Mahomes got some fuel to the fire recently with the Raiders and a puppet and some other things out there. I know last year he was kind of searching for some things to fire him up, and he found them. Is it a smart idea to fire up Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I'd probably say not. We don't spend a lot of time here with puppets.
All right. There's this story, and I encourage you to watch it. It's Kevin Garnett. He's telling this story. He's telling the story about the first time he went against Michael Jordan. Now, Kevin Garnett is from South Carolina, but he moved to Chicago for his senior year. I don't want to give you the entire Kevin Garnett backstory, but that's important. So he had a lot of family that was there. You guys know Kevin Garnett. He's a really excitable individual. So he's starting to go back and forth with Michael Jordan heading into the fourth quarter. And there was a rookie there. His name was J.R. Ryder. And the rookie kind of tapped Kevin Garnett like, yo, what are you doing? That's not what we do here. The opposing player apologizes to Michael Jordan in the middle of the game and says, Mike, he young, he doesn't know. Kevin Garnett keeps going on. I don't care about that. Okay. He then says Michael Jordan then scored 30 points in the fourth quarter and the Timberwolves got ran off the court. And Kevin Garnett at that moment learned, I shouldn't talk like that to Michael Jordan. That's kind of what I think is about to happen on Sunday. We know enough about Patrick to know that these are things that he keeps a mental Rolodex for. And if there's one team that I know is going to get the Chiefs full attention, it's going to be the last team that beat them. Think about how long it's been since the Chiefs have lost. We are about to celebrate Halloween this weekend and this week. The Chiefs have not lost a game from Christmas of last year up until Halloween. They have gone a very long time without feeling defeat. This is the team that beat them. You guys know the picture. It's Taylor Swift. It's Patrick's wife. They are sitting there, and they look like Santa Claus left coal in their stocking. It was a miserable day. You think that that team that did that to the Chiefs and also made fun of their starting quarterback, you think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to let that slide and let them get away with that? Probably not. Now, I want to play for you guys what Hondo Carpenter had to say. And I want to tell you before I play this that I got nothing but respect for Hondo Carpenter. He is one of our Raiders guys. He is misremembering the Kermit the Frog video. Here's Hondo Carpenter.
Well, first of all, I want to address it because I was right there. It was not a player who was mocking, and I want to explain what happened. It was a rookie named Trey Taylor. And a fan who didn't know anything about the Raiders Chiefs, he didn't know anything about that being a Patrick Mahomes, a fan hands him a Kansas City Chief puppet. And, of course, he saw it was a Chief. I'm not pretending he didn't. But he didn't know it was a shot at Patrick. And the kid felt like crap. And everyone on the team was like, listen, that's not us. We hold Patrick in great respect. And so, yeah, it happened, and if I was the Chiefs, I would absolutely be talking about it. But just so you know, putting it in perspective and reality, I mean, the kid felt literally like crap about it. And AP came out and addressed it and said, that's not who we are. It isn't what we meant. It was a rookie that didn't get it. And, you know, a lot of people went after the fan. What are you doing? Why are you giving that to a rookie? But the Chiefs were talking about it. They should, but I can tell you it was – there is nothing but respect – in this building where I'm at right now than anything else for the Chiefs. It should happen. If I was the Chiefs, I would be playing that thing every day, all day. But I wanted to give you what really happened.
Again, I got nothing but respect for Hondo. I really do. I like Hondo a lot. That's not what the video says, though. Sure, maybe there is a time in which the player didn't know that the puppet was wearing a Patrick Mahomes jersey. He then puts it on and then he starts to mock Patrick Mahomes' voice. He starts to mock his voice. We all know the I'm here is the Patrick Mahomes meme. I'm just not buying the defense of I didn't know. And how quickly his teammates came out and distanced themselves from the comments. Also, tell me everything I need to know. And that ain't got nothing to do with me. He said that. I didn't say that. That's not what we do here. I'm not rolling with the, oh, he's a young kid that didn't know. Nah, he knew. And now it's time to get that lesson. That's part two of all of this. To know that you shouldn't do this anymore. I think the Chiefs are going to comfortably win this game. And I think on Monday it will be noticeable that the Chiefs have responded to this in some kind of way. Whether it is a trick play at a moment in which, oh, you want to try to embarrass the Raiders, or a player makes a hand motion or a gesture or something of it. I just don't think that, like, remember that line from The Wire that the crown ain't worth much if the person that wears it always gets his stuff taken? Remember that line in The Wire? Part of being the king is you got to let all the other gestures and serfs know that you are the best. And one of those individuals got out of line. You need to let it know that's not what you do to the best team in the league. And football is usually a place that you either display that physically, like you were just a more physical, imposing team, or you run a trick play against them at a moment that you shouldn't. We've all seen those games before. We do a ring around the rosy. We score a touchdown to go up 31-10. And we kind of let you know that you had that one coming. That's just what I think is about to happen in Sunday's game against the Raiders. I largely think this because the Raiders, the Raiders just don't really have many pieces to kind of fight back with Kansas City. Like, if you look at their team right now, this is a team that Gardner Minshew is their starting quarterback. And I like Gardner Minshew, but he's a backup quarterback in the league. He has 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions this season. He has a 73 quarterback rating. Now, some of that is because they can't really run the football. Alexander Mattison is their number one running back. He's averaging 3.6 yards per carry. Zamir White, I believe he's injured for this game. He was averaging 3.2 yards per carry and hadn't scored a touchdown so far this season. Rob, to let you know how bad Zamir White was, he had 52 carries and 3 of them went for a first down. He was terrible this year. So we're talking about a team that can't really run the football successfully, and they have one decent pass-catching option, which is Brock Bowers. Well, Brock Bowers is exactly what we thought he was going to be. He was a very good tight end in college at Georgia. He has been a very good tight end in the NFL for the Las Vegas Raiders. That's kind of it. I mean, Jacoby Myers is fine. They got Trey Tucker, DJ Turner. They just got a lot of guys that are not good. So this is not a game that should be close. Now the Chiefs, they do have a propensity of making these games a lot closer than they need to be and a lot more edge of your seat, nerve-wracking in the fourth quarter. I don't think that the Raiders should be that team that you have. Maybe Tampa Bay next week, but I just don't really look at the Raiders as being that kind of team. So that's one of the things that is interesting to me about this game. The other thing that is interesting to me is DeAndre Hopkins. What is his role going to be? How good is he going to be in this matchup? Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting with the coaches. I think our coaches do a great job of getting guys up to speed, and you've seen that throughout this year already. Bringing in guys, getting them up to speed fast, and then letting them go out there and make impact and do what they're great at. And so that's stuff that I think the coaches really do well. And then at me as a quarterback, I just try to be on the same page with the guys that are in there whenever I'm taking a snap.
That was Patrick Mahomes talking about the time he thinks it is to get acclimated with a wide receiver. Here is Andy Reid confirming that he expects DeAndre Hopkins to play this weekend.
Probably, yeah.
You know, it was only a couple days of practice. How do you look to it?
He did a good job. He's in the process of going through everything. So everything he does is the first time, but he's got the experience with relative plays. But he's picked it up. He's a smart guy, which really helps.
I don't really know why DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't play on Sunday. When you just think about these kind of trades, this is not the first player that has been traded in the middle of the week. They almost always play. Now, they have varying degrees of how involved they're going to be in the offense and what their productivity is going to be, but Amari Cooper played last week. Davante Adams played in his first game. Odell Beckham, when he got traded from Cleveland to Los Angeles, he played. Christian McCaffrey, when he got traded from Carolina to San Francisco, he played that week. These guys almost always play, so I fully expect him to play. I don't know what his role is going to be. I don't know how good he is going to be in this game. You could tell me almost anything happens. Would I be surprised if DeAndre Hopkins had 5 catches for 60 yards and scored a touchdown? No, not at all. That's literally what Amari Cooper just did last week for the Buffalo Bills. Could he have 3 catches for 18 yards, not really be much of a factor, and it takes him a couple of weeks to get integrated into the offense? That is also a possibility. So at least for me in text line, you could tell me what is interesting to you about this matchup. 913-586-7965. The Chiefs obviously have much bigger fish to fry, and the Raiders, they are a bottom 5 team in the league. This is a team right now who might have a different head coach the next time that Kansas City goes to Las Vegas. They are certainly going to have a different quarterback the next time that they go. They are a team that is in desperate need of a hard reset, and that is not the first time we have said that about the Oakland or Las Vegas Raiders, but they feel like a team that is in the middle of a hard reset. You are going to have kind of those trap games and those trick spots, but again, there are some teams that you know are going to get the Chiefs' best effort. Baltimore gets that. Buffalo gets that. Cincinnati gets that. The Raiders maybe could have got a Chiefs team that was going to be looking past to the Bills game or Monday Night Football against Tampa Bay. But with them losing their last game to this team and sort of the controversy, so to speak, and I put that in air quotes, around the whole puppet situation, they are going to get Kansas City's full focus this weekend.
And they did this to themselves. Like, you know, I think they would have had the Chiefs full focus just by beating them on Christmas Day. As you laid out, the very top of the hour, there is an iconic, might be a stretch of a term, there is a known photo where it's Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, and they are wearing 15 and 87 Santa Claus hats, and they look sad, and CBS has the graphic. 20-14, Raiders win. And it is clearly something that bothered Chiefs fans. They stopped losing games at that, and bothered the team. They stopped losing games at that. So I think the Raiders would have had their full attention, because last time we played this team, they got us. No one's gotten us since. They would have had the full attention. But then you sprinkle in the puppet, and you sprinkle in where Antonio Pierce about the they're going to have the Mahomes rules. They're going to treat him different.
Yeah.
And they also
I forgot about that.
Talked about how they have the formula to beat the Chiefs because they did it on Christmas Day. Like, for a team that is trending toward 3-14, they're talking like they're 14-3. They do a lot of talking, so you were always going to get the full power of the Chiefs, but now you added another element. It's foolish behavior from a team that's not very good. Like, I know the Chiefs won the AFC title game, but the Bengals that week were doing a lot of yapping, but the Bengals are good. That was a game-winning field goal in the AFC title game at Arrowhead. That was a back and forth football game. They didn't back up their talking, but at least they were in the game. This does not feel like the Raiders are going to back up their talking at all.
Coming up in just a little bit, earlier today, we were joined by various guests of the other team. So we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the Raiders, because why would we spend a lot of time talking about the Raiders? We went to Houston, Buffalo, and the other teams that are leading their division in the AFC. We'll play some of that for you coming up in a bit. Rob, I just want to take a little bit to talk about this. I don't know if you want to play the hits, and we can do that and make this hit number one. Have you seen what the ratings were for the Arizona Cardinals Los Angeles Chargers game? It was not good.
It's 5 o'clock. And your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number one.
Kings, before we get into those bad ESPN Plus ratings, I want you guys to know The Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, you can fade the music down here. Again, I want to get back to football here coming up, I guess local football, so to speak, but I do want to read this. I just saw this. So there was a Monday night football game this past Monday that was exclusively on ESPN Plus. That game, according to Sports Business Journal and NBC Sports, drew less than 2 million average viewers. I hope and pray that this is an example to the National Football League, because I think the NFL, I think they get off on knowing that they can treat us however they want to treat us. And they can put playoff games on Peacock, and they can put games on Fridays in the fall when they said they were never put Friday games in the fall. The NFL walks around and operates like they can't be touched. They put a game on ESPN Plus, and it drew less than the WNBA did this week. So I hope and pray that this is a message to the National Football League. There was no reason to put this game on ESPN Plus other than to try to squeeze as much money out of us as possible. They do that at every single turn. They put Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. They charge $300 for NFL Sunday Ticket. They put NFL playoff games on Peacock. The NFL tries every single turn to take money out of our pocket. But putting Arizona and the Chargers on ESPN Plus was the ultimate, oh, we can do whatever. You guys will watch it. You guys will gamble on it. You guys will play fantasy football. We can do whatever we want to do. They got less than 2 million people to watch it. So I hope and pray, I really do, that this is a lesson to the NFL. Stop. There was no reason why they couldn't have put that game on ABC. You know what they put on ABC? They had a simulcast of Bucks and Ravens. So the game was playing on ESPN. It was also playing on ABC, and they had a whole other game on ESPN Plus that you had to pay to watch. Stop doing this. And I know we let them off because the NFL is king and they're more popular than all the other sports leagues. The NFL, they just get away with stuff that none of the other leagues can do. We never call them out on it. Yesterday, we saw the most obvious penalty that happened right in front of the official. Goes uncalled. Nothing happens. You know, don't care. I'm sorry. Just billions of dollars are being gambled on these games. They miss calls right in front of your face. Nothing happens. I hate it. I'm sick of it. I'm happy that this happened to the NFL. I'm happy their little experiment failed with Arizona and Los Angeles. Hopefully they never do this again, Rob. They probably will, but I certainly hope that they do.
Here's my question. And maybe this comes from, you know, the fact we did the show all summer and fans were jaded about Bally's and the Royal stuff and all that stuff. But here's my question. Are fans ever going to fight back against this? Because
I mean, I would say that them getting 1.8 million people to watch it and it being the least viewed NFL game since 2008 is a form of fighting back.
It's not enough to stop the NFL from continuing to do this.
No, I mean, they're not going to figure out another way.
They're going to find a new and exciting way to get it behind a paywall. And by the way, they have a paywall game every week with Amazon. Amazon doesn't announce the ratings, so we don't know, but Netflix is getting a game this year. Chiefs fans, you don't have Netflix, by the way. You don't get to watch on Christmas Day. Now, maybe 41 is doing it, but yeah, that's on Netflix, just so you know. They're going to be a playoff game last year on Peacock. I'm betting another playoff game is on a streaming service this year. I get told all the time about how baseball and the NBA and college sports are all doing it wrong because they're behind a paywall and, you know, they're playing too often and there's too many games, blah, blah. The NFL is doing all those things and fans just rave and they just consume, consume, consume. Does the bubble ever burst? Do fans ever say, hold on, screw you, Netflix, no thanks, I'm not doing this? Or is it just the NFL can never do any wrong and they can play games on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, behind paywalls on HBO Max, and fans just gonna be like, hey, we love football, so that's the path.
Yeah, I think the play is just going to be, you got to give us better games. If they had put a decent game on there, probably would have done well. Like when they did the Peacock exclusive game earlier this year for the first Friday game, it was the Packers and the Eagles. Sure, all right, you can generate this. But for far too long, we've let them on Thursday Night Football give us Panthers and Steelers. No, I'm not watching that nonsense. I'm sorry. I'm not watching it. No, I'm out. I did not turn this game on. I did watch it a little bit. I watched it on. I did take a little bit of personal. I didn't pull up on ESPN Plus. I pulled it up on one of the sites. I wasn't contributing to that. I didn't want to see it then because I had the Chargers on the money line. So I did watch a little bit of it. I did watch a smidgens of it. I did watch a teeny tiny bit of it. Just the end, though. That was it. I took a stand. All right,
real stand. I watched. I logged in.
Hold on. Watching it on Stream East, I didn't contribute to the ratings here. I took a stand. I took a stand and watched it on Stream East.
You know, fans just keep gambling on it, so who cares?
Yeah,
well, I gambled on it, so I had to watch.
I did gamble on it. Yeah, I did. I never said that I was perfect. I'm also part of the problem. I acknowledge that. I'm part of the problem. But I at least had to take a stance here. No, I didn't buy your CD. I pirated your CD. No, it's different. I heard it. I just didn't pay for it. All right, coming up on the other side, Rob, let's talk about your favorite team, KU. They play K-State this weekend. We'll also take a quick trip to Buffalo, Baltimore, and Houston, the three other teams that are leading their division in the AFC. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by
DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
All right, a couple of things. In about 10 minutes or so, I'll play for you guys. I guess we'll talk about it. We'll talk about KU and K-State. They play this weekend. We had Lance Leipold and Chris Klieman on the show. So earlier today, if you missed it, we had someone on from Buffalo, Houston, and Baltimore just to get their thoughts and get their takes on the other three teams that are leading their division. Why would we spend so much time talking about the Raiders? They're not going anywhere. All these teams are going somewhere. We start with Jeremy White in Buffalo, and he told us which deal he likes more. Is it Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins?
I think I'd rather have Cooper for the Bills, like for what the Bills really, really needed in the specific player that they needed. Compensation-wise, you know, what the Bills gave up, a little bit less than a third-round pick. Good with that. Money is cheap, and maybe they extend him past this. So, like the Cooper idea, just fine, happy with it. And, yeah, I think it's a good fit.
What was you guys' take on your morning show about the Chiefs trade?
Well, it's funny, Carrington. You know, we've talked a million times. You know how Bills fans feel about the Chiefs. Like, they can beat the Chiefs, but they don't beat them when it actually matters the most. So it's a little bit the comparison I made was, you know, I'm already in a swimming pool and spraying me with a hose. I'm already wet. I don't care. So whatever the Chiefs get on offense, like, fine, great. Congratulations. You know, the playoffs are what's going to define this team. Bills fans feel like they should have beaten the Chiefs last year when the Chiefs offense was down. And if it's down again, I mean, the Chiefs can finish 32nd on offense. And when that game comes in the playoffs, that's the only thing that's going to matter. So it's definitely good for the Chiefs. I think everybody here acknowledges that. But at the same time, you know, it's all talk until they actually meet in January and the Bills, if they ever are going to, actually get the job done.
Looking at the schedule right now for Buffalo, these are their wins: Arizona, Miami, Jacksonville, the Jets, and Tennessee. And they lost their two games against good teams. Do you have any questions about this Buffalo team? Because we saw them go up against some of the big dogs in the AFC, and they lost both of those games.
Not at all. I mean, there are a couple of sad sack Bills fans that want to compare this Bills team to last year's Dolphins, right, who they don't beat any playoff teams. But the reality is the Bills have a resume. Josh Allen has a resume over 7 years of beating lots and lots of playoff teams. So I don't think it's exactly an incomplete team that's flawed because they haven't beaten anybody good. They easily could have beaten Houston. They had a terrible day that day and nearly came out and stole it. Against Baltimore, game script goes sideways. A rematch, they'd be underdogs, but we'll see. But, you know, this team's beaten a lot of really good teams. So they've got some things to figure out still. The new-look offense will be a big change. And they've got to figure out what to do defensively with so many injuries. And they've had a lot of trouble stopping the run, more so than usual. So they've got their things to fix, but I don't think there's any sort of paper tiger here that indicates they can't beat any good team.
Last question here. The Bills right now are 5-2. They play the Chiefs coming up in 3 weeks. They play Seattle, Miami, and Indianapolis. What do you think the Bills' record is heading into that Week 11 matchup against Kansas City?
5-2 now, they'll be 8-2. They'll beat Seattle. They'll beat Miami. They always beat Miami. And Indianapolis, if it's Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco, it's just not going to matter. Yeah, they'll be 8-2.
The Houston Texans, let's catch up with Sean Pendergast. I mean, I'm looking at their two losses because they're 5-2. I mean, if your two losses are on the road against Minnesota and on the road against Green Bay, you certainly can live with that as a Texans fan.
You can. And yet it's strange because the five wins that the Texans have had, if you were to look at those, they beat the Patriots like a drum, which a lot of teams have done this year. But the other four wins all came down to the final possession against the Bills, against the Jaguars, against the Bears, against the Colts in week one. And a lot of that was due to a lot of mistakes the Texans have made. They've been very penalty prone this year. They've let teams hang around. They've not been a good second half team offensively. And In my mind, I think that's actually, in terms of what the Texans could look like at the end of the year, I think it's a good thing. These are all very fixable things going on with the Texans, where I feel like they're 5-2 and they haven't played their best football yet. They're going to get Nico Collins back in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, a lot of optimism, man. A lot of hope here in Houston right now.
Sean, honestly, I thought that Joe Mixon was cooked a little bit. He's been very good this year. Has 77 carries for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. Yeah. He's been hot these last couple of years as well. I was wrong on Joe Mixon. He's been one of the better backs in the league.
Yeah, he's been great. He missed a few games with an ankle injury, but that wasn't like a wear and tear thing. That was, he got hip drop tackled in a game against the Bears in week 2. So, you know, like even a young back would have had a sprained ankle from that. The games that he's played from beginning to end, which there's been 3 of them so far, he's had over 100 yards in all of those. He's been their most valuable player offensively in the games that he has played in. He's been really, really good, to the point where for us here in Houston, you know, we don't watch a ton of Cincinnati football the last few years. We're all going, why did Cincinnati let this guy go? You know, he's looked really, really good. And that's been kind of the trend around the league with a lot of these veteran backs who hit the free agent market this past year. Mixon, Barkley, Henry, Josh Jacobs. You know, it's cool to have the Texans be one of those teams that kind of was able to capitalize on that.
Last thing here, let's assume that Kansas City is going to be the one seed. Let's assume that they are going to be in the AFC Championship game. Who do you think their opponent is going to be? Because at this point, I think there's only 4 teams that can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I am not a Jets believer. I am not a Steelers believer. I think it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, or Kansas City. I'd be surprised if it's anybody else. Who do you think is their biggest contender?
I think it's Baltimore, but I'll make a case for Houston because I host the morning show on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. I think the case for Houston is they get some of their offensive line issues resolved. Look, they've got an experienced offensive line and a healthy offensive line that for some reason has had real problems protecting C.J. Stroud so far this year. So I think that's a solvable problem if you're able to get them coached up. And I think if they get healthy on defense, they're missing Azeez Al-Shaair right now. They're missing Jimmy Ward right now on defense. I think if you get those guys healthy, and they've been a good defensive team this year, I think that's the big thing, is they're going to probably have to go on the road in the postseason, and the defense will travel. So I think there's and I think I feel good about C.J. Stroud ultimately when he's playing in big games like this, if they've got their full arsenal of weapons. I'd say Baltimore right now, but, man, I could see the Texans making a run at it, and that's really exciting. I would love nothing more, man, than an AFC title game in Arrowhead Stadium with the Chiefs and the Texans. I think would be great theater.
To be joined by Tim Barbalace, he does the pre- and post-game show. Tim, happy to have you on the show today. There's been a lot of talk around the Ravens. Do you consider the Ravens to be the top contender to Kansas City?
Well, they got to figure out their pass defense first. I mean, they're in dead last, and that's despite heading into the year with a ton of promise and potential in the back end of their secondary. But I will say this. There's no defense that wants to see the Ravens offense right now. And Lamar, look, we've seen him have plenty of regular season success. He's taken his game to a completely different level this year. He's top 5 in passing. He's 11th in rushing. Derrick Henry is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season rushing mark. The offensive line, which I was very skeptical about coming into the year, they struggled the first 2 weeks. They've really solidified. From a receiving standpoint, in 7 games, the Ravens have had 5 different receivers lead them in receiving yards in a game. 5 out of 7. This offense, they keep saying it's pick your poison, and it really is. We've seen teams sell out to stop the run, but Lamar's killing him with his arm. And then if you want to drop back into coverage, then here comes Derrick Henry. The offense right now is as unstoppable as I've ever seen it under Lamar Jackson, but that defense needs some work.
Has Derrick Henry been better than even you guys expected him to be coming into the season with what he's given you in the first half of the year?
Absolutely. I think even if you're Derrick Henry's family, you weren't expecting this. I mean, he's been on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season record. Do I think he's going to keep up that pace? No. But when you look at the numbers in terms of guys 30 years and older, there have only been 4 players in NFL history, guys 30 years or older, to rush for 1,500 yards. And 1,500 yards for Derrick Henry this year is going to be a shoe-in. You know, he's already leading the league in rushing yards and touchdowns and rush attempts. And part of it's been the offensive line gelling. I mean, he's going a couple yards without even getting touched. And he just gets better as the game goes on, Carrington. The craziest stat with him, man, in the second half of games this year, he is averaging 7.4 yards per carry. 7.4 yards per carry in second half rushes. I mean, that's Madden numbers. You can't even do that in Madden.
Tim, what has been the Baltimore fan reaction to Kansas City grabbing DeAndre Hopkins over these last couple of days?
I don't want to say it's a huge reaction. I think Ravens fans are kind of just focused on their own right now, to be honest with you. We know the Chiefs already won week one against the Ravens. It's a much different Ravens team. Since then, the offense has really gelled. But Ravens kind of just focused on their own at this point, on who they could add at the trade deadline in terms of edge rusher, in terms of maybe inside linebacker. Could they get some safety help? But look, I mean, the Chiefs, they've been banged up at wide receiver this year. Rice, he's done for the year. Marquise Brown is yet to debut for them. Juju Smith-Schuster's out this week. Is this the DeAndre Hopkins of 4 years ago? No, but I think it's a deal that makes a ton of sense for them to make, and someone who is going to provide an impact, and you know he's not going to drop the ball.
That was Tim Barbalace of the Baltimore pre- and post-game show. He's with 105.7 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we'll give you a Sunday six-pack. I'll give you my official prediction to the Chiefs game as well. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm not the only one that heard that, right? I'm sorry. Rob, can you go back? Quinn, you heard that, didn't you? What was that? Rob, you got the audio. Can you go back and play it? Oh, man. I wanted to talk about the NFL. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. We have to figure out what happened. What happened? She was talking, and then it was like the record skipped. Hold on. I got to play it. Hold on. Maybe I'm the only one that caught this. Hold on. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Tackle your airport parking needs at Park. Tackle your airport parking needs at Parking Boat. Always the best service, always the best price. Open 24/7 fast and free shuttle services. All spots are covered. Reserve your spot today at Book.
Rob, what do you think happened? What's that sound?
I don't know. It legitimately sounded like, you know how like when you're playing basketball in like seventh grade and
that's what it sounded like. Yeah.
Did it start to slip?
Yeah.
I don't know why she was doing this while running, but.
Quinn, what do you think it was? What do you think that sound was?
Or she has a parrot. She could have a parrot, like a little squawk.
I think she might need to change the smoke detector. That's what I think will happen.
I think that she's got to have one of those like walking running desks, you know? So she's trying to get the steps in while doing the traffic report.
I don't know what that was. It just caught me off guard. Maybe it was only funny to me. I don't know. I got distracted. All right. You know what? I don't want to talk about the NFL. I really don't. I wanted to. Now I don't want to talk about it. I just want to ask you a question, Rob. Is the Sunflower Showdown fun? Is it a rivalry that you enjoy? Quentin put his hands up. Quentin, how old are you? Come grab. How old are you?
25.
So you're 25 years old. How many times do you think that KU has beat K-State in football since you've been alive? You're telling me this rivalry is fun. It's great. Which side are you on? You a KU fan or K-State? K-State? You're a K-State fan. How many times do you think that KU has beat you guys since you've been alive?
I don't know. I'd probably say less than five, I'd probably go with.
When were you born again?
1999.
Four times. Your whole life. Four times. They have not beaten... KU has not beaten K-State since Obama's first year in office. His first term. Actually, I don't even think Obama was in 08. He didn't get inaugurated until 09.
Was it before November?
It was November 1st, 2008.
That is the Saturday before the election, because the first Tuesday is the election. So it was technically, we were hurtling toward the election.
This was George W. Bush.
It's a great rivalry.
What's great about it?
I get to watch my team win.
This is why it's not great. In football, one team wins all the time. In basketball, one team wins all the time. What's fun about it? And you don't hate the other. Well, I say this. You might hate KU. KU does not hate you. Isn't part of a rivalry that is supposed to be equal hatred on both sides? Ohio State and Michigan both hate each other. Alabama and Auburn both hate each other. It's not one-sided hate. KU does not hate K-State. KU, it's just, I'm an outsider, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Let's say the KU got eliminated in the NCAA tournament, right? They just got eliminated. They lost in the third round, right? I think KU fans cheer for K-State to have a good run in the NCAA tournament.
Up to a level.
Yeah. Guys don't want to make the Final Four.
Of course not. No.
You don't want to make the Final Four. Yeah, you wanted to make the Elite Eight, though. You're fine.
Yeah, like that year that K-State made the Elite Eight and lost to Florida Atlantic. Good job, Cats. Good run. Don't go any further. Don't do that. But Elite Eight, that's fine.
Yeah, and you guys don't feel that way. You guys hate KU the way I hate KU. That's why I like you guys.
Yeah, we're on the same team here.
Yeah, no.
You, though? Because I've seen the message boards. K-State Online, not a fan of this show.
Cool. Who do they like? Who do K-State fans like?
Their own?
Yeah, I just want to know. Who do they like?
Podcast?
Who do they like that's not a K-State person? Sure, they love Tim Fitzgerald, Riley Gates, all of them. Who else do they like?
It's a great question.
Because they don't like me, I'll tell you that. Missouri fans, none of the college teams like me, to be completely honest with you. That's how I know I'm honest. That's how I know.
It's hard to dislike Missouri since they left the conference, because you're in the SEC now, so it's like without that, you know, direct play.
Oh, yeah, I don't have any beef with K-State. I like K-State. I like them. They don't like me. They don't have any love for me. All right, I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had fun. Excited for a fun weekend. Before I get out of here, Daniel Craig, take him home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.